So this morning, if you are visiting us, we're going to have a bit of a different service. We might get to a sermon. I'm not sure yet. Okay, so we'll see. But we had a healing and breakthrough service last week, Sunday. And we saw God move in a special, special way. So this morning, we just want to honor God by testifying. Now, if I read this in Romans 12:11 says this, and I like the ESV, it says, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. So this morning, as we give an opportunity to testify, we are conquering. You know, the devil, someone often want to come to us and say, ach, you don't really have a testimony. And it's interesting because we see it, we see that effect of that condemnation, so to speak. When you say, can we testify, then everybody goes like, but I don't have a testimony. The fact that the sun came up this morning and you have breath in your lungs is a testimony. Because there's no guarantee. If you love Jesus, then you have a testimony. All right, so this morning, we're going to want to give a... Okay, let me maybe say this. Andre said, if you play it safe, you will kill your faith. So this morning, we don't want to play it safe. This morning, I want you to come. You know what? What's the power of a testimony? And sometimes, like I say, we downplay our testimony. But we never know how it touches someone. The effect of what we are sharing, how that impacts another life. So don't make your testimony cheap. Don't allow the devil to mess with you. All right, so those that are going to testify, I want you to stand here because there are cameras that need to see you. All right, so what we're going to do, Danielle, you're going to be up first. All right, and then if you want to testify, can you line up this way? So that we can have the one mic, you know, from the one to the other and share. I know there's some real preachers here. All right, but you've got about 3 minutes. Okay, because we want to give as many people as possible an opportunity to share their testimony. So don't hog the mic. All right, with respect. All right, so if you want to testify, can you come now? Now, come stand here. Kom Carolyn, ek weet jy wil testify. Moenie net daar sit nie. Kom staan hier so. All right. Danielle.
I messaged Quibus first thing this morning and I said, please can I go first? Because otherwise I'm going to be like anxious the whole time. So I'm Danielle. Some of you know me, some of you don't. When I was 16, I was in a bike accident and I damaged my knee. So now, 24 years later, please don't work out my age, but I've had 3 knee operations, and last year, after severe pain, the doctor said I have to have another operation, which has a lot of risks, to avoid a full knee replacement. Or the alternative was to wear this brace for the next 10 to 20 years, was the doctor's outcome, because you can only have a knee replacement when you're 60, and I'm not yet 60. So that was a long battle. I have prayed. I've had people pray for my knee. But on Sunday, before Andre was giving the talk, I just felt God say to me, it's been 24 years. I'm like, I know. And then when he said, let's come to pray, he said, there's someone who's been waiting 20 years. Sorry, I'm one of those, like, emotional guys. But as I stood there, I was, like, reminded of the woman in the Bible who touched Jesus' garment, but I didn't touch it. I threw myself to the front. And I can just... Quibber said, I must be quick. I can testify my knee is healed. I didn't need to wear this the whole week. I ran with my daughter. I tried to wear a short dress. You could see my knees, but it was too cold. Anyway, but you can sort of see my knee. But those of you who have walked this journey, you know I can't run, I can't dance, I can't play with my kids, I can't do anything with this. But yeah, the absence of pain is a miracle, because it just feels, if you haven't had constant pain, you don't know what it feels like to not. So I just want to testify God can heal, and it's a journey. I don't know why I wasn't healed earlier, but I can say now I am. So.
Amen. I at least saw this one man. Donkey. So I'm just. Gents, come on. Don't tell me God only works with women. That werk nie vir my nie. So can we have the men testify as well?
Thank you. I just want to very shortly share the core of what the Lord did for me last week. I came with a specific expectation that I wanted a specific impartation that I've been trusting the Lord for about 5 years. And I don't want to bore you with all the drama and things that made me put my hat on and sneak out of the church afterwards. That's not the point. The point is, I went afterward to Andre and I asked him, because during all the stuff that happened, I just experienced that the Lord had set me free of something very specific. And I asked him, what is your take on that? What do you think the Lord really set me free from? Because I experienced it very strongly. And he had no doubt. He said, from past hurts and pain. And as he said that, I just realized that if you're trusting God for something very specific to give you, he will not share his space with anything that stands against him. And that doesn't only include horrible things like terrible sins or whatever, but it's faithlessness and pain and hurt. And those things stand against God's blessing in your life. But the big thing that happened is when I went home and I started trusting God for the impartation to learn how to use it, my sister phoned me. And my sister had been raped when she was 5 years old. And she had terrible pain. And there were lots of things that added onto that in her life. And that same Saturday, she was at a different venue in another place. And she came with the exact words that I did to the Lord. Lord, I am not leaving until you bless me. She came with those exact words, and when she told me her testimony, she said, this is what happened. I almost fell off my bed when I sat and I spoke to her. And you know what the Lord heard, healed her of, in almost the same way, is of emotional pain and hurt. And she had to speak forgiveness. And I just want to thank the Lord and encourage you, because Jesus is in the house. He wasn't only in the house last Saturday. Jesus is in the house. Tell him, I'm not leaving until you heal me or until you bless me. And like the woman of the issue of blood, to pursue Jesus, to touch him and to receive from him that which you need from him.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I've got a shoulder problem for almost plus minus 6 years. I don't know what actually resolved in that, but I couldn't move my left hand arm, and I couldn't touch here, I couldn't do this. And last Saturday, they prayed for me, and God blessed me and healed me from that. So the pain is gone, and I can use my arm. Thank you.
Hi. Okay, and most of you don't know me because you might have joined in the past 2 years. God is awesome. He will do whatever he wants to, whenever he wants to. He's got all the power and time is in his hand. So that I believed 2 years back, luckily. So I had severe asthma. I'm allergic to fire. No braaiing at our home. I'm allergic. When it's cold, I got asthma. Most chemicals, all petroleum products, which include the stuff that you put on your hands. And so there's no scent in our house. There's no swept up chemicals or anything. It's difficult to clean like that. But yeah. Okay. So to give you an idea what it's like, first I would start cough. Then it would be it's coughing, then like wheezing, and then it's like to a point where I can't speak. I would start to, it itch everywhere, and it turns skin would turn red, and it would be very painful. And if something like that happened, it can keep on for the pain and stuff for about 2 weeks. So it's not, just that and then it's over. So, you can think I cannot throw in petrol. Or if I'm long in a car, and a car drive by that has issues, I've got issues. I had issues, yes. I need to learn that stuff. Right? So, this was my best friend. I wore it. I always had it with me. And I would put it on just to get out of the situation because it wouldn't stop whatever's going on. My lungs deteriorated to such a point that we had to get the oxygen machine. April last year, that was bad. When that thing arrived, I'm like, I feel so ill now. Any case, so I checked this morning, and I've been on that machine 113 hours since April last year. And that was not for every time. I would first do the the ozone machine, then the nebulizer, and then later on the oxygen machine. So at one point I left. I went on conscience as well and all that stuff. So that was where I were a week ago. And I couldn't come to church because I'm allergic to sanitizer. So I'm allergic to going anywhere. And so last week, Hildegard prayed with me. And I went like, ooh, it's hot. And then Anton came and he prayed. And I saw stuff out of my past. And it was amazing because it was in my mother's womb. And when I got that vision, I saw such a familiar thing. It's such a familiar feeling that I had, that I didn't experience in my life. But when I was taken back in that, while he was praying for me, I experienced that feeling again, and it was like, I remember this. And yes, so Anton said to me, but now we have to test it. And I'm like, are you going to start a fire? He didn't look like the guy that's, like protesting or something. But yeah. So I went to Millie and I asked her, okay, can you take out your sanitizer? And I said, don't open it. And she just held it because normally if the sanitizer is there, then I would start coughing and all that stuff. Nothing happened. So she said, can I open it? And I said, let's try. And she did. And then I said, okay, put it on your hand. She put it on her hand. I said, are you sure that's sanitizer? And then she let it run just over her hands. And then she hugged me and just got it all over my clothes. And her perfume is also one of those that really would, send me to the oxygen machine. And it goes normally, and nothing happened. So I couldn't wait to get home. I said to my husband, start a fire. And he said to me, no. And I said to him, you have to. And he said, everything's wet. And I said, no, you have to start a fire. And he said, okay. So paper is one of the worst things that could burn, and besides eucalyptus stuff. And he said to me, let's try paper. And he said, but you're standing far away. And then I came nearer and nearer until he could take a photo where I'm standing at the fire. Wow. And that's me. And if you don't know the Lord, don't know miracles, don't know how he loves you, please call me. I've got lots of this, more of this. I can tell you 2 years of stuff.
Good morning, church. You know, okay, I was being the lion of, I just want to thank God for what he's done. You know, when I was a teenager, I had suffered a lot of recurring tonsillitis. And when I accepted Jesus, I said, Lord, can you heal me of this? Because every year it's the same story, and I haven't had tonsillitis since then. But now as I'm getting older, and I'm now over 60, you know, there's other things that come along. And I came in here last Saturday, and my ring finger was hurting so much. It was ridiculous. I've had to even remove the ring on my finger that I was wearing because my finger was hurting so much. And one of the ladies from, was it Malmesbury or wherever, she prayed with me. And I said to her, I've been to the doctor for something else, like on my knees. And he told me at the time, the problem is that we don't come with spare parts. Now, God can create spare parts and he can oil those other parts. And I thank God that I could actually now bend my fingers. Yes. And I'm really trusting God for complete, complete healing on my whole body. I'll die, aches and pains, but no. Yes. So when we don't share our testimonies, then, you know, the devil will say, like you said earlier, nothing happened. We experience something and then you doubt. And instead of doubting, I'm coming up here and saying, you know what? This is what God has done. And I'm trusting him for more.
Goeiemôre, amen. Verskoon maar die taal Afrikaans. Ja, geliefdes, ek staan volgende hier met 'n blywende hart. Die Heer het my gelei tot hier en ek weet hy kan my die pad nog verder vat. Ek weet, daar was eens op 'n tyd in my lewe wat ek 'n baie beproefde stryd deur gegaan het, maar God het my daardie gehelp. En wat laas naweek gebeur het, het weer eens bewys dat God is waarlik waar en God lewe en hy is op die troon. Ek weet eers nie wie vir my gebid het nie, maar die volgende moment, toe ek my kom kry, toe ek op my knie en die Here breek deur en ek gebruik en ek praat in tale en ek bid in tale en ek gebruik my tale wat ek vir die afgelope paar jare nog nooit gedoen het nie. En ek het gevra, Here, wat gaat aan in die volgende moment? Toe tref die tweede wave my en ek gaat in stilte die trane loop en ek begin te bewe soos iemand wat elektriese skok opgedoen het. En ek vra, Vader, wat is het vanoggend met u? Wat wil u hê van my af? Maar ek het gevra en ek het gekom met 'n verwagting. U weet, daar was 'n tyd wat ek met God bekleed in my gebede. Ek weet wat het ons om 'n nag te lê voor die Here en te geween het. En God het my verlos. Ek het uit depressie uitgekom. Ek het gekom uit die drugstryd wat ek gevoer het. En alles gaat nou vir my net seepglad. En na Saterdag, toe ek Sondagmiddag, namiddag by die huis kom, toe lek in my kamer, toe vraag die Here, hoe, waar en wanneer? U weet, hoe kom vraag ek so? En God het my die antwoorde gegee. Want ek was besig jare terug om te probeer werk het aan 'n projek wat Bybel georiënteerd is oor die verhoor. En ek het dit gestop. En God het vir my gewys, gaan voort met dit. Sit dit op skrif en publiseer dit. Dit kan mense tot ander insigte bring. Dis hoekom ek wil die seën met die woorde dierbaar is. Die Here is goed. Healing is vir ons almal. Ek het ook gesê is nie vir my nie, maar na die lering het ek besef dit is waarvoor God ons in die lewe geroep het om mekaar te genees, om mekaar se laste te dra. Die Here seën u.
Morning, church. So the one thing I want to, there's two things I want to testify with. It's emotional healing and identity. So I wasn't here last week with Pastor Andre, but this has been my journey, and it's something I really feel passionate about. So I grew up with a very absent and abusive father, and I never had an identity, and really struggled with life. Got saved in 2013, started walking a journey with God. And God started shifting my heart, and I tried to reach out to my dad. For about 6 years, wrote letters, went to go and visit him, tried to bridge the gap. 2021, 12th of March, my dad committed suicide. No chance of reconciliation. So last year was one heck of a year. Life was hectic. I didn't have a very strong network around me of people supporting me. It was very lonely. Work got mad. Life got mad. At December came, I reached total burnout. I got to a point where, for someone with a bubbly, big personality, quiet for 2.5 weeks. Very few words. No engagement with people. I just got to a point where I was like, okay, I've tried a lot of things, doing the same things, expecting a different result. Got to the point where I was like, okay, God, the only way for this to change is to do something different. And I prayed a very bold prayer. I was, God, me, you go into the wild. That's the only way. And someone else said it earlier. God honors that space. So this has been a very interesting 6 months, if I can call it that. And God has not shared that space with anyone. God has kept me very close to Him. And I've learned different aspects of God. I've seen how God celebrate me when I'm at my lowest. I've seen how God joke with me in intercession when it's like serious moments. But to see His nature and His character as a father, to say, I still love you, I'm with you. And I'm still on that journey. And the enemy still comes, still lies, still attacks. But my heart is for men to come alive. My heart is for men to be set free, for fathers and sons to love like God loves, to return to God's script. And I love what God is doing. I am free. I get to celebrate. I get to laugh, things I was never used to. And all the more, God allows me to see small steps every day of what He's doing. And I stand amazed at that is what God is doing in my life. And I praise Him for that. And I know the journey's not done. The journey's only getting started. But I want to encourage you, be bold, for God will meet you there. God's not afraid to meet you there. I think we're afraid to meet God there. So I want to encourage you. I'll be around to anyone who wants to speak or have questions, but that is really my heart, for God to set you free, to restore identity. Amen.
Morning, church. I just like to. My son isn't here. He's in little church, but so he can't share himself. But I'd like to testify what happened last weekend. He has asthma, quite severe as well, since beginning last year. And it's horrible when you're outside or in a shop and you hear that cough and people just like pull a face because it's COVID or something. So there's it feels like it's stigma towards it. So you try to do your best to mitigate it, to cover it up, to say, oh, it's just asthma, it's fine, don't worry. So having a newborn as well, you don't know what day it is most of the time. So last week, we knew it was Sunday, so we came to church. We didn't know what was happening because there was a bigger band and it was fuller, so we were like, okay, it's weird today. So it quickly dawned on us like it wasn't a normal service, and we had like a a feeling of expectation. And we heard there was going to be healing, a prayer for healing, so we're like, okay, let's ask God for this. So if you've seen Malachi, he normally runs around after service. He never wears shoes. He's always like, doesn't have a hoodie on. So he's always, he loves all the things you're supposed to do when you have chest problems. Like he's never covered. It's hard to, I'm trying to keep under 3 minutes, but I'm stumbling. So every night he's on the nebulizer. So that's also terrible to see this little face with this mask and all these fumes and the medicine. So it's, as a father, you don't want that to be your child's future. So to testify and just to thank God in front of you guys, this whole week, and it's something we never forget. He nebulizes every night, and something we don't forget. It's like non-negotiable. So Sunday night, no nebulizer. Monday, no nebulizer. Not because we forgot, just because we are trusting God. And no coughs, no sneezes, no fits, no nothing. And it's, yeah. So even if it's just for this 1 week, it's been the best week ever. But we trust in God that it's a healing, yeah. So thank you.
Okay, great. So I'm Auri, and I had like stomach cramps, just a back pain, like since last year. And then I was diagnosed with IBS in March this year, and I went through all that leaflet colonoscopies and all that stuff, just for a doctor to tell me that I can't eat this and I can't eat that. And then since Saturday, when we prayed for the healing, I haven't had any pain. I can eat anything. I usually eat like smaller bites so that the pain won't be that severe. But I've been eating myself like a fool, and I've been eating gluten, and I had mince yesterday. Sorry, Rochelle, vegan. But it was so lucky because I didn't have any cramps. So I was like, yeah, so I just want to thank the Lord for that healing.
So I'm Jacqueline. It's my first time in church with you guys. I don't know. I'm originally hailing from Gautengeling. Yeah, but yeah, I've been imported. So I heard that there were some testimonies that weren't about Saturday, and the Lord was saying to me, I want you to go tell your testimony. So, whew, my whole life has been trauma, abuse. I was raped when I was 13 by multiple guys. And God has healed me. I'm just feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. My eyes are red because I went with a friend to a hippie party and I had eyeliner on last night. So they're just not stopping tearing. I'm not crying. But so my whole life was just trauma. And I was 2 years ago diagnosed with, no, 5 years ago, with critical post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, if you know what that is, there's absolutely no control when the triggers come, when people come and hurt you. And I was in a very, it's not something I usually share, but I just feel like the Holy Spirit saying that there's somebody that needs to hear this today. I was in a very narcissistic marriage for 17 years, and I prayed. I've been a spirit-filled, Holy Ghost born again spiritual believer on fire for Jesus. Even through the trauma, I stayed close to the Lord, and I learned what it is to walk with Jesus, whether things are good or bad. And I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, you can experience God whether life is good or bad. You can experience, I experienced so many miracles in the midst of 17 years of heartache and pain. I experienced joy in the middle of pain. I experienced peace in the middle of all of that stuff. And do you know that it's not something I'd really share in Joburg because it's not things I want my kids to be exposed to, you know, with, I protect my children. So, and 2 years ago, my marriage fell apart. And God actually came in with a sword and he ended it. I didn't end it. God ended this marriage. It was no part of mine. But I was at my rope, at my wit's end. I had two T1 strokes 6 years ago. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And God has healed me. I'm like 80% already better. I don't suffer with any of the stuff. And I didn't get my healing. I love church, okay? Just hear me out. I love church. But I didn't get my healing in a church because I was involved in a mega church for 22 years. And I was asked to leave because my in-laws were the senior pastors. And because I left my husband because he did the wrong stuff. So I was asked to leave. And the rejection I went through was so severe. And I thought, Lord, there's no hope. I don't have a story left. I don't have a testimony left. I've got, what do I tell people? There's nothing left. And for 6 months, I was isolated. It was the pandemic. And I just stayed close. And I prayed in the Spirit. And I stayed close because I could do nothing else. I had nothing left. And I said, Lord, I've got nothing left to give you except my worship. And I worshipped and I worshipped. And I came into a place where I had such deep encounters with God. And he healed me, by the way, from critical post-traumatic stress disorder, where they said I would never be healed from it. They said that I would never be able to walk in joy and have a normal life. And I experience joy every day. So you know what? I want to tell you that I started preaching on internet, Christian internet radio station 6 months ago. And through preaching the word 4 times a week, God started healing me. So if you get into the word, if you yield to what the Lord tells you, if you yield to worship, if you yield to His Holy Spirit, He is faithful. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He'll set you free. And He'll give you a new name. He said, my name's Radiant. Those who trust in the Lord will never be put to shame or confusion. So you are free because it's for freedom that Christ died for you.
Hi there. Good morning, everybody. So, more honest. We were also here last weekend, and initially really did not know what to expect, but I just knew that I wanted more of God. I just knew that sitting here, I just wanted to experience Him like He wants to show Him to me. And when we had the first session, Andre obviously set the scene and invited people forward that wanted that. And they made open space here, and normally I would go, but I would be like in row three or, you know, but that morning I was, before I could even think about it, I was first up front here, in the middle, because I just felt that God was just wanting to show Him to me. And in that moment that I was just feeling all this, it was just, I wanted to run out because all this uncomfortableness inside of me. But when Andre was before me, he touched me, and it was just literally explosion inside of me, how the Lord just touched me. And in all of that, I just know that He lives, He's alive, He is real. It's not just for somebody, it's for everybody. And sometimes it's easy for us to think, no, but God, that's not really for me, eh? It is. And he really wants to make each one of us new. And new, I just received really what that means. And that means He wants you to be yourself. To really be who you are and how He made you. And we're sitting here and we're trying to live lives of what other people want us to be. And it just releases all of the pressure, all of the anxiety of this life, everything at work, everything at your house, your friends, everywhere, when you just love yourself and live who you are. So let's just do that as we go forward. Amen.
Morning, church. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Stephen. And let's see if I can pull this off and keep it all together. I was sitting thinking the whole time, what do I share and what do I don't share? And probably about 5 years ago, sitting in a concert, one of my favorite songs came up, and it's by Casting Crowns. I knew this was going to be tough. and the song is basically, let me dream my dream for you. And we all have this idea of what God's dream is for us, because you know what, it must surely be pretty parallel to what our dream is for ourselves. No. It's parallel, but it's nowhere close. So I think what I want to say this morning is, let go and let God. I thought that it took a couple more years before that his dream for me started operating, and the day I suddenly realized, ooh, it's starting, a week later I realized it's nothing like I was expecting, and it's been the scariest, most wonderful 3 years of my life. So what I'm wanting to say is, I think, trust God to do what he wants to do in your life. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to be awesome. He knows better than what we know what we need. Because he knows the master design, because it's his design. And but the main thing is that expectancy. Everybody here this morning has spoken about having an expectancy. And I came here last Saturday going, God, I need something special. I'm trusting you for something special. And I've been in meetings where the people have fallen around me like flies, and I've just stood there. Praise you, Lord. Happy for them. Bless them. And nothing's happened to me. And I came up the first session and with great expectation, but sort of no expectation. And I think I was like the first person that Andre prayed for. And I was like, okay, I wonder if something's going to happen now in the next minute. Okay, thank you, Lord. Something's happening today. And a little bit later on, one of the guys came to me and said, Stephen, I've got a word for you. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get through this one. But anyway, basically what it boiled down, and for years I've been saying, like, I'm the one that everybody's always, you know, And Tian came to me and said, the Lord is showing me this pillar that's holding a whole lot of stuff up. I'm going. And he says, but this pillar, if you come a little bit closer, it's full of cracks. I'm going. And the Lord says, it's coming down. I'm going. But Jesus is going to seamlessly. Moving underneath. So I want to encourage you this morning. He's already started moving in underneath in ways that I couldn't expect. Relax and let him move. He is faithful. Our Father's heart is good and his arms are so strong.
I brought with my moral support. He's not going to say anything. He's just standing. Okay, I'm so nervous. So I feel like I must talk to you. So
with COVID starting, I don't know why I'm crying already. With COVID starting, we went through a lot that happened. Me and Raina have been trusting for a lot financially, work-wise, oh my goodness, Raina, and health-wise as well. And when we started coming to church, to Pastor Corbis's church, Shofar, Raina got laid on his heart in COVID that he must take the job that was coming on Wednesday when we started yesterday in our old venue. And he started the job, and when COVID hit, he actually lost the job. And we thought to ourselves, how does that work? He told us to start the job. We got it. We got it for 2 months, or what was it?
Like, 1 month.
1 month, and the job went away. But it was good because at that time, the boss was so nice. He gave Renault extra work and so on to try and keep us afloat. And we needed that month because that's when Raina's current job came in and got advertised. And we didn't think he qualified for the job, but he got the job. And he's been going from strength to strength. But before even this, finding a house finally, that exactly what we're looking for, finding healing in our mental capacity. A vision came to me one night, and I remember sharing it with Raina, you know. It was a vision of me and him as two oxen. And we were yoked together and we were sitting. And, you know, I could actually see myself at the level of an oxen head and big nostrils and looking at Raina. And he looked the same. We were like two big oxen. And this man came and I knew immediately it was God. And he came and he checked our bridles and he fixed and he tightened our gear, you know, our stirrups and stuff and everything. And he checked our bridles and he checked us one time and then he went to the back and he held the reins. And I remember as the oxen looking back and he said, one more plow, one more line and then we're done. And we had been sowing and saving and doing everything, trying to prepare. And then me and Raina laugh. It feels like, you know, when God pulls you back like an arrow and you feel yourself, everything's falling apart. And then suddenly he shoots you and you're just flying through the air. And the beginning of this year, we found a house that we're looking for. I got a new job from my old job that was a very bad environment. Raina's job's been doing well. He's looking for emotion. And it's just, we're actually flying way too fast. Sometimes Raina's like, hold on to your seats. I got my master's. So it's just, I think that realization, what I want to encourage is sometimes it feels like the chips are down. And when the chips are down, you and your partner fight, obviously, like cat and dog. But just that vision where God, there still has to be hard work. And I feel like that's something we forget. He checks the bridles. He makes sure you're supported. He makes sure you're on the same road. But he says, you still got to keep plowing for me because you've got to plant so that you can reap. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Morning, everyone. Sorry, I'm Indian. We do funny things sometimes. It's in the blood. Now you're awake. January this year, I was praying for the new year, and I asked the Lord that, God, I feel like just renewal. I feel like we're running dry. And we've been with Shofar for quite a long time, and what we experienced last Saturday was the norm in mine and my wife's life. And for the last 2 years, we were running dry. I was running like just dry. And I said, God, January, there needs to be a little bit of a pump up. I need to recharge my batteries. And late last year, God healed me of anxiety that I was carrying for 25 plus years. And I didn't even know that I had it. And a month back, the Lord set me free of shame that I was carrying in my life. And when I came on Saturday, I didn't expect anything. The only thing I came on Saturday was just to be vulnerable before God. I didn't ask God for physical healing or emotional healing or anything. I just came to say, Lord, I'm just here to be vulnerable before you. Because, you know, we men, some of us like to suppress, control, manage our emotions. I have a college degree in managing my emotions. And we want to be perfect. We want to know and show the world that we are in control. And we know everything. We know everything better than anybody. And I just had to come on Saturday and say, Lord, I'm just here vulnerable. And I don't want anything from you, God. I just want to just be close to you. That's all what I want. Because I realize that this thing in your head, you know, 3 million thoughts all the time, all the day that you're managing, you can only manage that if you are close to God. And when I came on Saturday and the facilitators prayed, I just felt that strike of the Holy Spirit. And I said, Lord, if this is the day I have to come up to you, I'm ready. Because that presence was so good. It was so nice. It didn't feel like staying on earth was important. You know, it just, out of the happiness, I said to God, if this is the day, it's okay. Because I just want to feel that again. I just want to keep that presence again. And through the week, every morning I woke up, I said, God, just don't take it away. Just leave it. Just leave it there. I was holding it. I don't want it to go away. And I still have it. And I'm just so excited. And all I want to just encourage all of you is, don't miss church. The day that you say you want to stay home, come that day. Come and take part with the church. Don't stay away. Don't find excuses not to come. Find an excuse to come. Find an excuse to be part of your small group. Find an excuse to come and be vulnerable before God. Because in that vulnerability, you will find an answer. You will find the freedom.
Amen. We're still going to let you testify. And then, then we're probably going to have to close. But I just wanted to read a scripture this morning before we came to church. I told Kurbus, this is what I'm feeling and seeing about testimonies. He read the scripture in Revelation that says they're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But there's another scripture I quickly want to read to you in Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15. It says, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And then verse 15, he says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And I feel that as we testify, it's like when the Israelites came out of battle and they paraded the enemy in front, having them stripped of their rankings and walking through the streets saying, we have conquered and we have victory over our enemies. And as we testify, this is what we're doing, is what it says here in the scripture, having disarmed principalities and power and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it through the blood of Jesus. Amen. We're still going to do these two and then we're going to close.
Okay, I don't know what exactly I'm going to say, but I need it. I thought exactly that scripture was in my mind. I have to testify. So just my experience last week. So I was wrestling with the Lord, I think it was Saturday morning, maybe even Sunday morning, because I was scared. I was very nervous and I was very scared. Because I've been, it's something that, you know, the enemy knows what you struggle with and where you're vulnerable, and then he pokes at that thing. And I was, that morning, just, I was like, Lord, how can I be leading worship? I'm so, like, this is not, like, I'm the most reluctant leader. Like even, yeah, I think the band knows how many times they tell me, Nicole, you must lead, you must be more proactive in leading and like all of that. So yeah, so really, yeah, it's a bit of a struggle. And that morning I was like in tears because then I just realized like me with my goeters and inferiority complex, or whatever it was not disqualifying me from God's calling on me. And, you know, like even, like I said, struggling to, I mean, I remember the first time I was in the band, I wasn't even leading, and the night before, I was literally shaking. Because I was like, what am I going to do? Anyway, so, yeah, but God has just been so, for me, it's such a, it's a testimony for me because it's God taking me out of what is comfortable for me because that's not comfortable for me. And God knows, like, I even said, Lord, this is between you and me. Like, this, when I worship, it's you and me, not for everybody else to see and to hear. But then God puts you now in a very uncomfortable position to bless the church or whatever, however he uses. But the thing that I wanted to say was God is so, I've just experienced again how personal God is because even though I was struggling that morning and then even in the band practice, I was like, you know, just wrestling with my own thoughts, like thinking, okay, I must take this constructive criticism, whatever, whatever. And then the moment we walked into intercession, the Andres team was there and they were praying. And then the first thing, the one lady, I don't know what her name is, she prayed and she said, and she was praying specifically about people in the worship team who were feeling unqualified. And I was like, okay Lord, you know, it's exactly what I was feeling. And this lady was praying exactly against what I was feeling and speaking truth over it and saying, Lord, use this, what, and so it's been, I just thought it was such a privilege for me to be able to like participate. Even I got front row seats, although I wasn't sitting, to see what God was doing, and that, for me that was such a privilege to be, yeah, because it just, like you're saying, it's making a spectacle of the thing that the enemy thinks is going to get you down, like, like, yo, what the enemy meant for evil, I got to stand in the front and witness what God was doing with the church and even participate in just singing prophetically over the church as well. So that has been a blessing. And okay, maybe my 3 minutes is up. But is it okay if I just read something almost prophetically? Because I haven't read, Stephanie, I read this to you on Monday and it was a bit embarrassing because I haven't read it to anybody, but I was just reminded of this poem that I wrote a year ago when I really was, it was nach, and I had no song, and I didn't edit it or anything, I just wrote it. And when I read it a few days ago, I thought, I feel like this is gonna come to life, and I pray that this is what is happening in our, well, maybe towards the end. But this was just my story from then, and it's also my testimony of, yeah. So it's called He Is My Song, as in God. Why did the music stop? It got so quiet, dead and cold. Desire, creativity, gone. Sadness and depression took hold. Darkness and tormented mind, struggling to see light. Fumbling, falling out of control. The battle in my soul and the music stopped. But the seed that had been planted, it still had its root. Slowly it's been watered. In the darkness he saw the shoot. Calling out my name, tugging at my heart. I thought the music was gone, but he is the song. Gentleness, kindness, love and soft whispers to my heart. He calls me, woos me and doesn't give up. Not giving what I deserve, showing mercy and grace instead. His kindness leads me. I can come and repent. His grace is sweet. He revives the heart. What once was cold, hard, now pumping and beating start. Like an unborn child in the womb, a new life, will soon be born. A new song will soon be sung, a new cry when that day comes. A joyous sound is coming, a new day is dawning. When I thought the music was gone, he is inspiring the new song.
Lyk my dit is nie die vrouens wat volgende praat. Maar die mans is hier vir morele ondersteuning.
Ek praat. Ek luister.
Ek gaan ook maar Afrikaans praat, want ek dink ek gaan oor my woorde val as ek nou Engels moet praat. So SV is in maart hierdie jaar gered, en ek het maande lank gebid dat hy gered moet word. En ons het huweliks probleme, en ons het berading gesoek, en ons het so 'n bietjie tools gekry wat ons daardeur help. En ons is een paar keer oor die vingers getik, elke keer het ons nie die tools gebruik het nie. En so die een week het ons gegaan, en daar is ons gevra, maar het julle hierdie week tyd met die Here spandeer? En ons is soos nie, ons het nie tyd gehad nie. Ons het julle saam tyd met die Here spandeer, en ons nie, daar was die tyd nie, ons nie eers tyd saam spandeer nie. En die week was chaos gewees, soos complete chaos. En toe sê maar, as julle nie die tools gaan gebruik nie, dan waarvoor is julle hier? En van daar af, die tools word gebruik. Ons spandeer elke oggend, ons dan 5:00 in die oggende op, en dit is baie moeilik. Maar 5:00 in die oggende staan ons op, en ons spandeer tyd saam met die Here. En dit gaan fantasties met ons huwelik en met ons saam. En toe begin ons saam bid vir een huis. En ek het nie werk gehad nie. Ek het een onderhoud gehad die een dag, en ek het dieselfde middag die werk gekry, en die volgende dag begin. Ons soek al van einde januari af aan een huis om in te bly, en ons kon ook nog nie in kry nie, want allemaal doen op die nipperkie adverteer die agente, en dan kan jy nie aansoek doen nie, want jy het nog jou maand kennis gegeef, waar jy bly nie, ons hier. En toe doen ons nou aansoek by een plek, en ek sê vir SV, kan jy weet, kom toe nou net 2 maande kennis, dan gee ons nou 2 maande om een plek te kry, en ons sê vir my, maar wat as ons die plek kry, sê ons bid, ons gaan die plek kry, ons mag sankie plek kry, vir ons bly, maar ons gaan die plek, maar waar die trek, ek weet nie, ons trek. Ons gaan een plek kry. So as ek kyk hier in die hand na plek, en daar is baie mense, ongelooflik baie mense. Ons gee ons aansoek in, en as een paar probleme, en die vroukie sê vir my die en die, ek geef vir terugvoering, en sy sê toe vir my, sy sal terugkom na my toe. En ek sê vir jy, dit lyk jy goed nie. Volgende dag kry ek een brief, ons aanvaar, ons het die plek gekry. Ons betaal ons eerste deposit toe, en sê sy, ok, volgende deposit toe is deal. Ek sê vir SV, ok, ons sal het uitsorteer, tweede deposit toe gaan ook betaal word. So alles is uitgesorteer, ons trek aan die jullie. So, staan saam in die Here, spandeer sy tyd saam in die Here, en gebruik die tools wat gegee word ter werk.